Welcome back to the Global Greek Influence, the podcast that takes you on a journey through the dynamic world of global Greeks in the realms of technology, cutting-edge scientific and engineering innovation, entrepreneurship and business, also special topics on politics and history. I'm your hostess, Panayotis Poumenidou, and I'm thrilled to have you join us once again. If you want to stay updated and never miss an episode, make sure to subscribe, like, and review the Global Greek Influence podcast on your favorite podcasting platform, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and more. Your support means the world to me. For even more engagement, be sure to follow our podcast's Twitter account, Facebook page, and LinkedIn page. It is the best way to stay up to date with the latest episodes, connect with me directly, and even suggest topics you would love to explore. But wait, there is more. For just €2.99 a month, you can unlock a world of exclusive content. By becoming a premium subscriber, you will gain access to exclusive video episodes available only on Spotify, get sneak peeks of upcoming interviews, and enjoy special episodes that dive deep into fascinating topics. So get ready to immerse yourself in the captivating stories and influential figures that have shaped the global Greek influence and impact the world today. Join us on this exciting journey of discovery and celebration. Thank you for being part of the Global Greek Influence community. We are now more connected than ever. We have access to information from all over the world and from all sectors of life and the economy. So it is easy to feel overwhelmed by the amount of information to process, handle, and decide what they mean for us and our lives. Things get worse if we consider that journalists who do not specialize in the economy or specific aspects of the economy, or who have not worked in a sector, are still responsible for delivering news from a particular angle, as if a geopolitics professor reporting on technological innovation and evaluating it. As there are no masters of all yet, artificial intelligence can give us a glimpse of almost becoming masters of all. We all know that open AI platforms question the rules of plagiarism, even the platforms that can compile research articles of one's interest to help them to write a peer-reviewed article. From a personal experimentation session, I can tell you that one still needs to do a lot of work, as the critical ability of the information to be utilized for one's interest is limited by AI platforms, no matter how narrowly or many specifics one provides to comb down and have meaningful information for writing up a research article. Additionally, there is a lack of character or tone in the articles produced by AI platforms and no plurality in sources used for the writing up. For instance, if you ask, "Could you provide the link or source to find this information?" the answer will most likely be, "I'm sorry, I did not understand well what information you asked for. I could not find the source to the sentence provided." I'm not sure if this is because I tried the free version and did not pay for subscription version. So, can we trust non-experts in the era of the fourth industrial information with access to a plethora of data? Can we trust AI for our learning or to produce expert work? I will start with answering, why is AI not new? What we call today artificial intelligence is the exponential rise in computer processing power and the new era of big data. Artificial intelligence is a broad field that contains many different technologies, including machine learning, natural language processing, robotics, and more. Big data are the large volume of structured and unstructured data that floods a business on a day-to-day basis. It's not the amount of data that's important, but what organizations do with the data that matters. Machine learning is a subcategory of artificial intelligence that is about training algorithms to make predictions or decisions based on data. Large language models, or LLM, is a type of artificial intelligence program that can recognize and generate text, among other tasks. In the 1940s, the programmable digital computer inspired some scientists to seriously consider making an electronic brain. The first AI conference was held at a workshop in 1956 at Dartmouth College in the United States. It was suggested that within a generation, a machine as smart as a human could exist, and they received millions of dollars to make it happen. However, it became clear that the project was much more challenging than they initially thought. In 1974, due to criticism from James Lighthill and pressure from Congress, the US and British governments stopped funding aimless at that time artificial intelligence research, leading to a difficult period known as the first artificial intelligence winter that lasted between 1974 and 1980. Interest in artificial intelligence revived in the early 21st century with a surge in investment and successful applications of machine learning to various academic and industrial problems, thanks to new methods, powerful computer hardware, and the availability of massive data sets. How different are programming languages and machine learning? Nikos Aradinoudis, researcher at the Technical University of Crete in Greece and chief technology officer at Motonius, that develops innovative motorcycle technologies, answers my comment.
Another term, or actually two other terms that are very popular these days, are machine learning and artificial intelligence. So one might ask, how different is machine learning from digital twins? Machine learning draws on knowledge and techniques from various fields, including computer science, statistics, mathematics, data science, and domain-specific areas like biology, healthcare, finance, and social sciences.
So these are basically using machine learning. So they are exploiting the results of machine learning. So in the example that I gave you regarding the LPG production, the analytics that we called that they are taking place are basically utilizing machine learning in order to predict values or to find out where the problem has come. They are two domains that they are helping each other. And definitely, when we talk about a digital twin, it couldn't exist without machine learning, because machine learning is very crucial for quite a lot of things right now, but it's also very crucial for DTs, because the digital representation needs information. And most of the times, it cannot get all the information required from the physical system. So we may have some info that come from the flow in whatever system this is, but there might be not much information. So we might need machine learning to create some other data. And I'm not talking about artificial data, but I'm talking about data that we can basically calculate from the real data through machine learning.
A simple way to conceptualize artificial intelligence, machine learning, deep learning, and neural networks is to consider them as a progression of artificial intelligence systems arranged in descending order from the largest to the smallest, with each layer incorporating the capabilities of the one following it. The concept of neural networks dates back to the 1940s with researcher Warren McCullough and Walter Pitts laying their theoretical foundations. On the other hand, neural networks are computational models inspired by the structure and functioning of the human brain. These networks consist of interconnected nodes, also known as artificial neurons or perceptrons, developed in the 1950s by Frank Rosenblatt. The layers typically include an input layer, one or more hidden layers, and an output layer. Deep learning, a subfield of machine learning connecting deep neural networks with multiple hidden layers, gained fame, particularly after breakthroughs in image and speech recognition. A widely known example of a neural network is Google's search algorithm. How new is the technology of artificial intelligence-assisted chat? The idea of chatbots has been around since the 1960s, when the first computer program called Eliza was created to mimic the experience of talking to a therapist. Modern chatbots are much more sophisticated and adaptable than their predecessors.
Yet organizations that have attempted to implement artificial intelligence in their customer support and service desk may not meet the expectations of their users. What is new in artificial intelligence? We see artificial intelligence in forms that are far from what a science fiction mind might create. We find artificial intelligence applications in e-commerce through personalized shopping, AI-powered assistance, and fraud prevention. We also come across applications of artificial intelligence in education, which include administrative tasks automated to aid educators, such as facilitating and automating personalized messages to students, creating smart content through the digitization of content like video lectures, conferences, and textbook guides and voice assistants. Autonomous vehicles and GPS might be one of the most advanced applications of artificial intelligence we see in our lives. Companies like Toyota, Audi, Volvo, and Tesla use machine learning to train computers to think and evolve driving in any environment and object detection to avoid accidents. Alexandros Nikitas, professor in sustainable transport futures at the University of Huddersfield in the United Kingdom, answers why artificial intelligence leads to more sustainable transport, further to, for example, protecting connected and autonomous vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Artificial intelligence is a very powerful thing. It's about giving human intelligence and even superhuman intelligence to physical objects. So AI could be a means to make vehicles significantly smarter, roads, motorways significantly smarter, allow every system in a transport network to actually function and harmonize and work very well together, so that you achieve lessening traffic delays, lessening traffic accidents, improving accident prevention, making social inclusion and accessibility something much easier to achieve. Reducing human effort as well and cognitive difficulties. So it's a door that we can open and could provide us with extremely beneficial opportunities. But at the same time, as every novel technology, we have to be cautious and we have to respect the way we actually apply things, because I'm having another paper that talks about that, something that could be a blessing could end up becoming a catastrophe. So we have to understand that there are red thin lines in the way things develop for the transport ecosystem of the future.
Facial recognition is also quite common in our favorite devices like our phones, laptops, and PCs. Artificial intelligence in healthcare is something not visible to us, but we build sophisticated machines that can detect diseases and identify cancer cells. Artificial intelligence assists the study of chronic conditions in combination with other medical data to ensure early diagnosis. Artificial intelligence is also used in agriculture, from identifying defects and nutrient deficiencies in the soil to how farmers can benefit from artificial intelligence and how these products will look like. With Ioannis Anastasiadis, professor in artificial intelligence and data science at Wageningen University in the Netherlands, is something we discussed in detail.
So here we have a technology that doesn't work all the time because it's still under development and it's not a proven kind of solid technology that we can say, yes, it works on every farm and so on. However, I think that farmers who are experimenting with these technologies are becoming also more familiar with the potential. So we haven't reached a technology readiness level that this is a proven product and we can just start selling it. But our farmers are increasingly having access to data. They're using devices for geopositioning their activities and so on. So I think gradually this will come, it will become easier. The other thing is that we need to also close the technology gap. So I think one thing is to have a solution that is working. Another thing is to have a product that is accessible to farmers. So I think a farmer shouldn't be using artificial intelligence itself, but it should use products built around artificial intelligence. And there, because there are several technical issues that are very challenging, even for experienced computer scientists, how to process data from different sources, what we were saying also before, that because we have data coming from different sensors, Internet of Things, satellites, how to bring them together and turn them into a product, I don't think it's something that's you would expect a farmer to do himself. But I think very soon we will have companies who are providing this kind of services and advices to farmers that will be tailor-made for you. So instead of having, so to give you an example, what, this is more or less what Google does with the personalized search. So for the exactly the same query, if it's me or you, we will get different results. So similarly, I think for farmer advice, either it is a crop calendar or when to fertilize or how, we will start going into personalized solutions that know your own risk preferences or development preferences as a farmer, but also your fields, your past performances, and give you better advices. But we're not there yet in terms of this is not something we have realized. However, we have various projects where we are investigating the potential of big data and machine learning for precision agriculture and livestock farming. And there is a lot of innovation that we see happening and being developed currently, and a lot of research that is still needed before making such solutions available for every farm.
Gaming and social media have been revolutionized by artificial intelligence, which creates smart, human-like NPCs to interact with the players, also to predict human behavior using which game design and testing can be improved. In astronomy, analyzing big data can be challenging, but equally important. For example, the Large Synoptic Survey Telescope, LSST, is a telescope in Chile, and it is designed to conduct a comprehensive survey of the southern hemisphere sky. The LSST aims to observe the entire visible sky every few nights, generating an enormous amount of data that will contribute to various astronomical studies, including the exploration of transit phenomena, dark matter, and dark energy. Dr. Spiros Kasapis speaks to the Global Greek Influence about machine learning helping us with space travel as artificial intelligence assists in analyzing data more quickly and accurately. Dr. Spiros Kasapis is a research scientist at NASA Ames Advanced Supercomputing Division.
Yes, that's a good question. Now, this is an interesting question because we have to define what we mean space travel. Space travel could also be us sending an unmanned vehicle to Mars. When it comes to that, obviously machine learning is very useful because that vehicle, because of the distance and because of what we discussed before, space communications, in order to send a message to Mars, it takes like I believe like about half an hour for a message to get there. So as you can imagine, you cannot have real time. You cannot give directions to any of the rovers that are on Mars in real time. Therefore, machine learning can assist on that. It can make decisions for the rovers without the need of human intervention. Now, when it comes to space exploration, as you might think it, or as many of our audience might think it, which is putting an astronaut in a capsule and just launching him out of space to go visit or to get into the orbit of some other planet. Obviously, machine learning can help on path planning, the path that a spaceship has to take and the amount of fuel that it has to use in specific spots of its trajectory can very easily be calculated with machine learning methods.
Artificial intelligence can also accurately find cybersecurity flaws and mistakes using machine learning. Cybersecurity is often related to hacking, loss of privacy, or phishing. Vasilis Katos, a professor of cybersecurity and head of the Computer Emergency Response Team at Bournemouth University in the United Kingdom, discusses the key areas artificial intelligence could further enhance cyber defense.
Cybersecurity professionals can use artificial intelligence to strengthen and fortify cybersecurity best practices while lessening the attack surface rather than constantly watching for malicious activity. On the other side of the coin, cyber criminals can cash in on those same artificial intelligence systems for malicious purposes. What are the key areas artificial intelligence could further enhance cyber defense?
Yeah, no, quite right. You're absolutely right. I mean, AI in cybersecurity is a double-edged sword. So we are seeing now in SOCs, in security operation centers, which are, if you probably you've seen in the movies, these areas with lots of screens and people monitoring incidents. Normally, you've seen this in space movies, but think of a space movie of a space exploration movie. But it's similar for cybersecurity, because you're monitoring cyberspace, you're monitoring the space. So you have all these screens in front of you, and you're trying to understand. Trying to develop situational awareness of how your systems look like and whether they are under attack and what to do. So. And at the same time, we're ingesting lots of data. We're talking about big data now. And it is impossible for somebody, for a human, to go to sift through all that data. So what we do is we need AI. We need machine learning to try to prioritize that these things, that what attacks are happening, if there are any, to cut through the false negatives, to cut through the false positives. We may think that there's attack, but there's no attack going on. So we need sophisticated machine learning and AI to give us the opportunity to quickly understand what is going on with our infrastructure. So that is something, and also to anticipate. So there's also predictive machine learning, trying to predict what kind of attacks we may see. Again, some work that we did with for Echo and Ideal Cities is that we checked real vulnerability data of the devices from different cities, and we tried to run some clustering to see if there are cities that have common vulnerabilities. And we did find, for example, it is Paris and Amsterdam. Paris and Amsterdam, we found that they have got similar risk profiles. What that means, how can this be actionable? If Amsterdam is suffering an attack, a cyber attack, I need to be online or in close contact with them, because if I'm in Paris, I know that the same attack can, if it's successful in Amsterdam, it's very likely to be successful for Paris. Yeah. So AI can help to automate these processes. But at the same time, the attackers, the criminals, can use AI to find weakness patterns, vulnerability patterns. And these are so vulnerabilities that have never been seen before. And these are called zero-day vulnerabilities and zero-day exploits. So it's used for, you know, in both for the cyber defenders and from the cyber offenders, so to speak.
What should we expect in the future of artificial intelligence applications? We stand at the threshold of a technological revolution. In an age where information floods our lives, artificial intelligence offers us glimpses in understanding and navigating the ever-expanding landscape of data. As we anticipate the future of artificial intelligence, it's a journey marked by both promise and challenge. The dynamic relationship between technology, ethics, and societal implications will continue to shape the landscape of artificial intelligence applications.
I encourage you to stay tuned for more revealing discussions on artificial intelligence with Global Greeks. The journey into artificial intelligence is ever-evolving, and I look forward to bringing you more insights, interviews, and thought-provoking conversations in the episodes to come. Thank you for joining us on this exploration. Until next time, keep questioning, keep learning, and stay curious about the boundless possibilities that lie ahead. Thank you all for staying until the end. Subscribe, follow, and leave a review to show your support and spread the podcast message far and wide. Thank you for being part of the Global Greek Influence podcast family. Stay tuned and keep exploring the world of podcasts with the Global Greek Influence. Thank you.